The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Good afternoon, good afternoon. Better Man Suit Bass, and let's talk dogs today. Let's talk about training your dogs. Of course, you know, dogs are man's best friend. A lot of people are, you know, the new term dog dads and dog moms out there. A lot of people are getting bigger dogs in terms of security. But like my good friend here was telling me, it's not that you just buy a big dog and you put it home when you feed it twice a day, bathe it when you feel like, pet it when you feel like. A dog needs a lot of care, even though I have a dog at home. And sometimes when you're leaving home, you just look so sad. Like when you're leaving, you know, the dogs do have feelings, and a lot of people, like, they don't realize that. So it's not just about, you know, having a dog as a pet. A dog needs a lot of care, especially these, I don't know what you would call them, ferocious dogs, or what kind of term, these pit bulls and these, you know, these Rottweilers that you want to get, they need care. So we have to try to train people and get them in the habits of taking care of their dogs properly. So we have a gentleman here. Good afternoon. So tell me your name now. What's your name?
Mark Windcastle.
Mark?
Windcastle.
Mark Windcastle. All right, Mr. Windcastle. Tell us a little bit about yourself, no?
I'm a dog trainer. Mm-hmm. I have worked with dogs since I'm a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Please have a little closer to the mic. Okay.
And doing it professionally for a few decades now.
Mm-hmm. All right. And you work with all types of dogs?
All types of dogs. Small right. dogs, big dogs, and anything in between.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say training, I mean training them in terms of, you know, a lot of people like to have their dogs in the home. Some dogs may be, you know, be biting up people's stuff, and training them out when they go to the bathroom, and all different types of training.
Everything. So from potty training, mm-hmm. Teaching dogs engagement so that they want to actually work for their owner.
Yeah.
And, you know, get mental stimulation out of that, and you get the cooperation that way.
Yeah.
Engagement games could be a little tug of war, it could be a game of fetch,
mm-hmm.
that type of thing. Giving your puppy food when it makes eye contact with you, when it comes to you unsolicited, and mm-hmm. so forth. So the dog wants to be around you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And wants to work with you. So mm-hmm. once you have that, then you can go into more detailed things and basic obedience, a sit, a down, mm-hmm. a heel, where they walk on your side on a slack right. leash, a stay, those types of things. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, depending on the purpose of the dog, if it's yeah. just a pet, you can leave it at basic obedience. But if it is that you have a dog to also protect the home, then you have to get a lot more control into,
more control
into
training.
Your dog,
mm-hmm.
so that you can control a large dog.
Yeah.
You know, even if in public, because you may have to take him to the vet, you may mm-hmm. have to take him to the groomer, depending on what breed it is. And then the dog has to be also prepared for a groomer, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't do this.
Yeah, yeah.
They just drop off the dog at the groomer's and then leave, and then come back 2 hours later and pick up their pooch.
Right.
Now, your groomer is there to bathe your dog, trim your dog's coat and whatnot, and check out the nails, and but they're not needle cushions.
Mm-hmm.
And then your dog is afraid, is scared that the groomer is there for right, the first right. time, has never been on a table, and mm-hmm. now panics at
you. Recommend the person should stay a little while.
Bites, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then people get upset when their dog, you know, comes back, and they say, don't bring him back.
Mm, right, right, right.
You know, you can't be upset with that. That is, as a dog owner, I'm trying to educate dog owners on this. This is your responsibility to train the dog for those things. It is not the groomer's responsibility to do this.
Right, right. So how do you do something like that? Train the dog for the groomer?
You simulate it at home from puppy. You get the dog accustomed being on a table for him, not panicking because of height.
Mm.
And then you touch them everywhere. You pass a brush for them. You bathe them in either a sink or in something elevated, you know?
Right, right, right.
Which you can simulate with a plastic tub on a table.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So they get accustomed being handled in this way.
Mm-hmm. Right, and nice.
Makes the visit to the groomer a lot easier.
Mm, definitely. In terms of people getting the dogs, like you say, for protection, is it important to get the dogs from a puppy instead of an adult dog, or even just to get a dog in the first place? Get it from as young as possible.
Yes, it is easier to deal with a dog from puppy, but before you even get there, you have to consider, what breed do I want?
Mm-hmm.
What breed suits my lifestyle?
Right.
So if you're somebody that is working 10 hours a day and you're tired when you come home, you should probably not get a Belgian Malinois, because you would not have time for a dog like this. They're highly energetic, they need a lot of stimulation, they need a lot of exercise, and so you wouldn't be able to provide that. So you want to aim for a breed that is maybe a little bigger but not as active, right? So you have your Rottweilers, you have your Mastiffs, you have mixed breeds that can fit in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have to choose the dog that's right for you. And then within that, you have to pick the puppy that suits your personality as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because genetically, there can be so many variances within a breed.
Right.
Right? You can get a Rottweiler that is cowardly.
Mm.
You can get a Rottweiler that is way too dominant for your skill level.
Mm. So how do you know? How do you know to pick a dog to suit your personality?
You can observe behavior in puppies and see how they interact with each other and so forth, and how confident they are or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you want a dog for protection, you want a confident dog.
Yeah.
But if you get a very dominant dog, then that can backfire on you because you might not have the skill level to deal with a dominant dog like this. So your dog will love you, yes. But then the moment you ask him to do something he doesn't want to do, he'll look at you and say, no, not doing this, and starts growling at you, and then you do what? You know, so you have to take all of this in consideration as well when you choose a dog, not just a breed.
Wow, choose a dog, not a man. Of course, like you say, people, there are so many mixed breeds right now, sometimes you don't even know.
Yeah, and once you get into the mixed breed category, I would suggest a dog that is a little older than just puppy, because you're playing lotto. You don't know anything about this, you know, you don't know all the mixes that are involved, and then so it is genetic lotto. And if you get a dog that's a little older, like 6 months, 9 months, then you can see the behavioral traits in the dog, and now it's easier for you to ascertain, okay, maybe this puppy is not the right one for me, but the brother is okay in terms of behavior. And then you can choose that way.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, in terms of a space for a dog, a lot of the big dogs, bigger dogs, they need space. Space to run around. It's not good to have them too choked up. Like some people might have a dog in a kennel, right through. You know, that kind of thing.
Right. Just, again, lifestyle, right?
It goes
back to lifestyle.
Mm.
A dog that you want for protection can do absolutely nothing for you in a kennel.
Right.
So if your plan is to put the dog in a kennel, you can get a small breed that makes noise and alerts you that there is somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a large dog for it.
Yeah, because some of those small dogs, well, I have a small dog, they bad in them.
Yes.
Matter of fact, I named him, his name is Pitbull. I think he feels he's a Pitbull. Very ferocious. And he's small, they could alert you, that kind of thing. But the big dogs, they need to be let loose. They need that freedom.
Well, it depends on the breed. Again, you can have a tall Malinois that, yes, they need to run, they need to flex, and they need exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? Then you have other breeds that less so. A Mastiff does not require the same exercise as a Malinois.
Mm-hmm.
But they can both be challenging to dog owners, especially if you did not have large dogs before, or you did not have a guard dog breed before.
Mm.
Because Mastiffs are genetically wired to work independently.
Mm-hmm.
They were used on farms that don't have fences. And if you don't belong to the farmer's family and you're not part of the livestock, then I have to deal with you when you enter the premises.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That is how they operate. So now you take a breed like this into an urban environment and you can already see where the problems come in, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they are 150 pounds plus.
Mm.
And if they don't want to go in the direction that you want to go, then that could be an issue, right? So they need training from early. They need very early socialization,
mm-hmm.
where you have to take them in different environments and expose them to different things, and so that you can get the control into a breed like this.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Malinois is very quick to bite, and is even for trainers a breed that, you know, can be challenging depending on the genetics, of course. And so it's not a dog for everybody, just how a Rottweiler is not the best dog for a first-time dog owner.
Okay.
Because they're powerful, they have a very hard bite, and they can be a little stubborn. So if you're trying to push a Rottweiler into doing something he doesn't want to do, and he really doesn't want to do it, he will let you know he doesn't want to do it.
Wow.
You know, and if you're a soft person that is not equipped to mentally deal with that, and goes, oh my God, he's growling at me, then you have a problem.
He will read that and he will say that.
Exactly. So if you're going to do this one way or another, and then, okay, so he recognizes, okay, I have to listen to this person.
Yeah, master, you have to show you're the master.
Yes.
All right. What about, I mean, like you said, the smaller dogs I'll make. What's if you want to bring a bigger dog into the picture of that? Because sometimes in a yard you may see a big dog, small dog kind of thing. Well, how does that work?
If the introductions are done correctly, generally it is not a huge issue. I've seen households where a little Chihuahua is ruling a big Doberman.
Yeah.
You know, so because dogs don't really care too much about size, the way we do.
Right.
So I would stand in front of Shaquille and I would think twice before I tee him off.
Yeah.
You know, because he's twice my size.
Yeah.
Dogs don't care about that too much.
Right.
The consequences are there, yes, but they don't take that into
consideration. They probably see everything at one size.
So it's more about attitude than anything else. So if you have a little Chihuahua that wants to be a pocket demon, and you introduce him to a very confident guard dog, they might clash. But if you have a big dog that's a big of a doofus, he would just walk away from the little one and say, you know, check your size.
Yeah, even though he could
take one point. Walk away and leave it alone, Whereas the confident, dominant dog will look at that behavior of the Chihuahua and say, hey, don't do this again, because I'm going to off you.
Yeah.
Right? And so
it
all depends on the individual dogs. Yeah. Everything with dogs, everything with training, all depends on the individual dog, because genetically there is so much variation within breeds that you cannot generalize anything.
Yeah. Right. So in the instances where we have seen where, you know, a dog would attack even its owner or somebody in the yard, even with children, you know, with dogs with the children and stuff, what are some of the things that may cause some of these things?
Lack of socialization. So if one person has this dog and the rest of the family says, I want nothing to do with this dog, that is a mistake. You should have a dog that everybody can interact with.
Right?
Because if there is no working relationship at all between other family members and the dog on the same premises, then that can lead to problems. And that is, it has happened, right? We know those cases. So it should not be that, you know, sufficient to say, I don't want anything to do with the dog.
Right.
So they, as a family, people should come together. Okay, you want a guard dog, but we have to make sure that the dog is good with everybody else.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And if that is done from puppy and the dog grows up with everybody interacting with the dog, then you don't have these issues. Right? So it's avoidable, but people have to put in the work, and that is a big, big issue.
People
want a big dog. Partner down the road has a litter and they take a puppy and they know nothing about the parents, they know nothing about the temperament of this puppy, and put it in the yard and then get busy with everyday life and don't do the amount of training and socialization that they should be doing. Then the dog grows up and boom, there's your problem. You know, it takes, having a dog is a responsibility. And also oftentimes poor breeding. We have a lot of backyard breeding in Trinidad. Poor breeding can cause those problems too, because poor breeding can cause unstable dogs. And so, you know, if the dog is too cheap to be true, it probably is too good to be true.
You know, I
personally would go to a reputable breeder. Yes, it's an investment. Yes, it's more money, but I know what I'm getting. I can see the parents. I can see the grandparents. They might have been competing in something where I can check it out, how they're working. And so I have a lot more information before I go down that road than if I'm buying a dog out of the tray of a pickup.
Right.
From somebody.
Can sense, you know, of set a dog or, you know, like you're saying, like you're wearing a different perfume. If the dog gets accustomed to a particular type of scent and you're pouring something new, can this trigger anything within a dog?
The changes can trigger it. So give you an example. You have a dog, you're working with the dog every day and the dog knows you, but you're out climbing with friends and you're not driving your own car and you come home intoxicated. So you walk differently, you smell differently, and you behave differently and you sound differently. So now you want to make sure your dog recognizes you before you open the gate. Right? So yes, it can play a role, but it's more in extreme cases. The changes have to be great. And all of them have to be different for that to really happen. Otherwise, a dog can use either scent, sight, or sound to quickly identify.
Right. Now, people are usually scared of the pit bulls, right? The pit bulls, you know, dangerous dogs, the pit bulls. But I know somebody like you would defend them. Like you said, depends on training and that kind of thing. Oh, you know, but where do you stand with, you know, with pit bulls?
It depends on the genetics, right? Pit bulls can be really good dogs. They can be really good family dogs. I personally had one just to prove it.
Yeah.
And it was my son's age.
Mm-hmm.
They were 1 year apart.
Okay.
And I had her for 16 years without any incident ever. And so it all depends on the genetics. Mm-hmm. There's also one thing that is a bit unique about some of them, which is a gene that some carry. We call it their game bred. There's a gene used that they want these dogs to fight. And it produces an unwillingness to give up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so when once they bite, they don't stop.
I've said that, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I've seen some dogs bite a corpse. The person was dead and they kept going at it.
Wow.
Right? Because they just can't give up. And so that is what makes it difficult. Now, you add to that a lot of backyard breeding, because anytime a breed is popular, you get a lot of backyard breeding.
Yeah.
So right now you get anything husky mix. You get Shepskis, Pomskis, all kind of skis.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Because the breed is popular.
Popular now,
right?
Yes.
People like the blue eyes and the blue eye and brown eye and all of those things, all those superficial things.
Mm.
And nobody thinks about what happens genetically and what happens to the behavior of your dog. Because huskies were bred not to be human aggressive at all.
Mm.
But you take a dog that where they spent over 100 years breeding that aggression out of the dog, and now you mix it with a shepherd, with a German shepherd. Mm. Now you, in one litter, you have the gene right back in there.
Right.
Right? And so you can get dogs that are unstable. You can get dogs that, you know, quick to fire a bite. I mean, just ask veterinarians how many bites they receive from huskies.
Mm.
You know, when they get scared.
Yeah. All right. Right. Now you mentioned, well, your son grew up with the pit bull, but in terms of having those dogs around your children, is it to get to, but the dog gets to know traps. I've seen, you know, videos and stuff where children are very close to dogs and they even protect them, as a matter of fact, you know.
But I also see a lot of videos where, for the sake of making a video, children are being placed in danger.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Nothing happened in the video, but it could have easily happened.
Right.
Which is a trend that I abhor.
Mm.
Children and dogs should never be unsupervised, and children should never be allowed to do things that can trigger a dog.
Mm, yes.
Right? Dogs have a perception of personal space just like we do.
Mm-hmm.
And to go right into a dog's face and, you know, grab an ear or something is a no-no.
Mm.
Shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Right? That if the dog gets overwhelmed emotionally by that situation and wants to get out of the situation, oftentimes they resort to a bite. But if you raise a puppy correctly in the presence of your children, and you raise your children correctly, not to grab ears, not to grab tails, and not to stick the thumb in the nose, right? Then they can grow up peacefully, and that is what I've done with my son and our bit.
Yeah.
You know, all my dogs that I had were safe around my son, but I also would not allow him to do certain things in the presence of the dogs, right? To avoid any potential for conflict.
Right. So what is the best dog for in terms of protection? What is the best guard dog in terms of protection?
Again, because you have so many variances genetically within breeds, it has to be drilled down to the individual dog and the person's lifestyle. So if you are a person that is more home and doesn't go out much, but you want a protection dog, then you should choose something that is not so physically active.
Right?
That is happy to stick around with you. And oftentimes, I come back to a German Shepherd because they're a great all-round dog. They can. Whereas other breeds need specific needs met.
Yeah. All right.
Right?
Yeah, folks, who let the dogs out today? We have some questions. Of course, call us up at 625-2257. Feel free to message us at number 3061065. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Bass, and good afternoon to the person, the dog specialist there.
Yeah, Mr. Wing.
I am talking about brethren.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a so-called, somebody I know was bitten by his pet dog. He came home drunk a day. And that same dog that he had for so many years, you know, and he gets some serious bites, like coming home drunk, like dog didn't recognize him, and all understanding and learning from what the guy is saying there. And he put a couple of stitches well, boy, so that's really, really true. Man, really know what he's saying, man. Yeah, you can believe the family had to run outside to separate he and the dog. They couldn't believe it, but he came home drunk. And as I say, his actions and his speech and everything, the dog, his own pet dog, didn't make it out and arrest some teeth on them boys. Are listening?
Yeah, man. So it was like a different personality, the dog, you know? The dog interacted with
that. He would see him as an intruder if he doesn't recognize him.
Yeah. Intruder boy. So, I mean, but sometimes, you know, you have these dogs and people don't have them, people don't gate them properly and the dogs might just walk out and that kind of thing. That is the kind of thing to how you protect your dogs, you know, yourself. Hello, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Mr. Bates. Mr. Bates, I have two dogs.
Yeah.
I have two dogs. I got married, mix it something.
A
Belgian something. Yeah, they didn't used to get along. So, I used to trick one every morning to put him up in a pitcher and have something to eat in a bowl. And come and jump up and snap his chin on him. One morning, this man gets over. He has spit out going, my restaurant bite, man. You Rottweiler, when you want to mix a Rottweiler? Okay, he fell up with this damn thing. It never had nothing in the bowl. We're trying to trick me for it. My restaurant bite, man. So when the German spoke about this, you know, that was a mentality of the one. He's quite correct. You know what he's talking about. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, dogs are smart. You can, I mean, it's only so long you can trick him for. If there's nothing in this bowl, he must know something.
At some point, he gets
at some
up.
Point. Yeah. All right, hello, good afternoon.
Afternoon, based on to your guest.
Yeah.
Well, just like your guest, I have a pit bull, and it's the most mild-tempered pit bull I've ever come across. I mean, several persons came to my home visiting that the dog has never seen before. And he jump in wagon tail to play.
Yeah, most pit bulls are very social dogs.
Yeah, he never bark at even a stranger passing in the street, but if them birds come around, he dog show them lizard in the yard where you want to eat them.
Yeah.
So my question to your guest is, in the event that, let's say, a bandit come in, just like somebody, a friend of the family who came that the dog never see for the first time, but he senses that danger, would he react differently or would he react in a playful manner as usual? I'll listen off here, thanks.
That depends entirely on the genetic makeup of your dog.
But it sounds like the dog...
If the dog is friendly to people that strangers. It doesn't know and strangers, it is less likely to...
It might
bark and circle him, but I'm not sure if the dog would bite in a situation like that.
And what to me, it don't make sense to have a pit bull, a friendly pit bull. I don't know, you know. I mean, strangers coming in my yard and my pit bull jumping up and wagging his tail and that kind of thing.
But you'll find that some people love them because, one, they're very affectionate. They love to snuggle. And then they also have very short hair. So if you have the dog indoors, there's a lot less hair to clean up and so forth. So it makes them popular, you know. And a lot of people don't know that. Those of us who are a little older, there was a TV show, The Little Rascals, in the US. And the dog in that show with the children was a pit bull. It was America's favorite pet until the dog fighting started. And
that's the dog with the spot. The spot.
Yes. That was a pit bull. You know. And then it got replaced by the Golden Retriever as America's favorite pet, family dog.
Yeah.
But until then, it was the pit bull, was it?
Now, what about these huskies that they say are very popular right now? Aren't those dogs for, like, temperate countries? I mean,
yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
So, but they have them in...
They have a very dense coat. If you take your hand and go against the hairline of the coat, it's not likely that you see skin.
Right.
The coat is very, very dense. And it protects them from sunlight as well, but not from heat.
Yeah.
Right? So, and huskies require a fair amount of exercise, right? They are bred to run miles and miles on end pulling a sled.
Okay.
And because of the heat, they can't get that here. And so they're somewhat frustrated because they can't get the exercise that they're supposed to be getting.
Yeah, some people just have huskies
and
in their homes.
Over time, they get more and more frustrated.
Yeah.
You know, and bite up stuff, vent the frustration into destroying something. And also huskies are very freedom loving. They escape artists. They love their freedom more than their owner. Once they're out of the gate, they're going. And if you chase them and they turn around and say, oh good, you're coming, and they keep going.
My dog sometimes ever so often, and again when the gate opens, you go and take a little run run down the road. We'll come back, you know, but you're going to take a little run sometimes, you know, thing. But I leave him, you know, you come back, you know, you go to him sometimes, just he would like go and tease some of the other dogs and thing, and then come thing, and then come back, and then sometimes when I run after him, you go running, but he always come back, you know, that kind of. But is that something I should encourage, or I should stop that?
No, because if somebody walks with a dog on leash in the road,
yeah,
a dog that has been possibly attacked before, and your dog is just curious, not aggressive, but runs up on that dog, it can trigger a fight.
No, but he will do it.
Right?
Yeah.
It can trigger a fight because the dog will get so scared and is on a leash, so there's no way out. And I've been attacked before, and you just come running towards me. You know, this dog is going to get defensive, and you have a fight on your hands.
Yeah. The other thing too,
and it would be your fault at that point in time, because your dog was loose in public without a leash.
Yeah.
Right.
And sometimes I want to take him for a walk. He's an older dog now, a couple of years, but he's so unaccustomed to having the leash on him that it's hard to take him for a walk. So I'd like train him to put the leash on him to take him for a walk.
Yeah, you can practice that in the yard. You put the leash on him and you call him to you with some food and then drag it.
Okay.
He gets accustomed that there is something, but the food will override that. And he gets accustomed to having it.
All right, okay.
Right.
Yeah, man. Good man. Dog training. So tell us about your services. I mean, people could call you to train their dogs and stuff. I mean, tell us about the services that you provide.
Yes, so we offer training in multiple ways, because I'm big on educating dog owners. So all our social media pages with Dog Point, they are free. There's lots of videos. We have over 300 videos educating people as to what not to do, what to do, how to do it, and so forth. And then for those who need more help, we have group classes that we offer. We have virtual training for those who live in apartments, for instance.
Right.
So this via Zoom, where people handle their dogs under instruction.
Yeah.
And then we also have the in-person sessions. We have podcasts, we offer blogs on our website. Everything is on dogpoint.pet.
Nice. Somebody says, if a pit bull attacks a person, how should you get it off the person? What's the best way to get it off the person?
Whether that is a dog fight or a dog biting, the quickest way is to choke the dog off. Put something around the dog's neck and raise up, because at some point their focus shifts to oxygen.
Right, okay.
And then they open the mouth, and then you immediately pull away and secure the person or the dog.
Yeah, man.
Whichever is the most feasible to do.
Right, good. So some people just want to beat.
That actually is the worst thing. Throwing water on the dogs, beating them.
Yeah, just make them more aggressive.
It fuels the fight. It is like throwing kerosene into the fire.
Right.
You know, because they're already in this heightened alert state, and then you add physical, you know, pain and other stuff to it. They just get more aggravated and more aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some dogs, they will separate. The weaker minded ones will. But a stronger willed dog will not release for that. It will just make it worse.
All right, man. So we're talking here to Mr. Mark Wingerson, head of the Dog Trainers and Foundation of Dog Point. I like the name, by Dog Point. So give them your number now and all your websites, anything where they could go and check out your videos and stuff.
Website is dogpoint.pet. All our social media links are on that. Our blogs are on that. Our podcasts are there. We're on all major podcast platforms under the Dog Point podcast. And my number here is 371-9888.
Yeah, man. Of course, like I say, in terms of sense of security, some people want to have that dog around, but you have to really, you know, train your dog properly. Train your dog properly.
Well, as usual, I can't get you on the phone. Your guest there, ask him, a shepherd, full-bred shepherd. He's a year and 3 months, I think. And he weighs over 75 pounds. But lean. Well trained, obedient, loving. But he's suffering with fleas. He itches whole day. Tried a lot of stuff. I was told of a particular tablet or something in a vet's office that I can use? Does he have any recommendations?
Recommendation for ticks and fleas?
I'm not a veterinarian. Yeah. I'm a trainer. I personally use anything from NexGard.
NexGard is good. There are some home remedies too. I mean, you could, I bathe the dog with blue soap. You see them coming out in apple cider vinegar.
That
and
doesn't
pepper,
always,
or some,
always
some,
work. Yeah, fleas can be very pesty.
But depends on the dog, or how long the dog has had the fleas there too, you know? You know what I mean? So NexGard, or take the dog to a vet, really and truly. Hi, yeah. Mr. Wingerson, thank you very much, sir. Been very informative. And, you know, people contact you and keep the dogs happy. You know? Thank you very much, man.
Thanks for having me.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.